Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back. Second hour is live. We appreciate you being here on a Tuesday. Let's continue with more phone calls. We've had some great ones so far. And how about Matthew is up next in Baton Rouge. Hello, Matthew.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. So I want to talk about Matt, the new head coach for LSU, Matt McMahon. I think
right. He's
going to be pretty good. He's got a good record of 154-67, I think, and overall. And he did a really good job at Murray State. I think, he's going to do well. He's not a Will Wade. You know, I think Will Wade's one of the best coaches LSU's ever had. Beside, of course,
Dale Brown.
What's his name? Dale Brown. Thank you.
Well, yeah. let me stop you right there, Matthew, if I could. I don't think Will Wade was a good coach at all, because I don't think you can look at his body of work and look at it objectively and honestly. Dale Brown is a genuine hero, and it's to me, because
right.
I've known Dale Brown my entire adult life, it's an insult to compare a giant like Dale Brown to a grifter like Will Wade. But you're entitled to your opinion. Thanks for calling. Let's continue with Jonathan in Georgia. Hello, Jonathan. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great.
Huge fan. I'm a UGA student, but I grew up a huge Arkansas fan. And I saw this list that had Bruce Pearl as a top 10 coach. And I just wanted to say that I think if Eric Musselman had that team this year, I think they'd be a one seed and they'd definitely still be playing with that talent.
Well, listen, Eric Musselman is impressing people by the hour. We were already impressed with him here, and I know you were too. But I hope he continues, because he's such a great motivator. He's such an energizing guy and such a smart coach.
No, it is awesome to see what he did with like Teddy Buckets and how he can scheme for those guys. It's really great to see.
Well, wonderful to hear from you. Thank you so much. Let's check in with Don, who is in Maryland. Hello, Don.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for the call, or thanks for putting me on.
Thank you.
A lot of back and forth between football fans. Georgia, listening to your show, a lot of people think they're the new king on the block with one championship. I put a list together of the best coaching jobs in the SEC and fan base, and I just want to share it with you.
Please.
One through six. Number six is Vandy. Number five is South Carolina. Three and four is tied, Ole Miss and State. Number two is Arkansas. Now, he may not stay there that long. He may end up start winning championships. Number one is Kentucky. That coach makes close to $7 million a year. He's never picked to win the division. If he goes to a bowl game, the fans are happy. He's got a big bank account. Same thing at Arkansas. Same thing at Ole Miss and State. That guy at South Carolina, he's making over $4 million his first year. He's not going to be picked to win much. The best most of these schools can get, the best, is the Sugar Bowl. And they're happy. They go to a bowl game. Whether it's Sugar Bowl or not, they're happy. Coach has got a big paycheck. And they're not knocking their heads against the wall like, are we going to be number one or two? So those coaches are smart. Stay where they are, build up their IRA, and enjoy the best sports around.
Hey, can an IRA hold as much money as these guys are making?
Yeah, I just use that for simplicity.
I mean, I always think of an IRA as like us normal people. We put a couple of bucks in there every month, and we watch it grow, and we hope it grows by the time we retire. These guys, they cover the IRA in the first game.
Oh yeah, I know. They're probably buying shopping centers.
That's like the old joke. I'll never forget when I got into journalism. There was I think it was the owner of the Washington Post. His wife asked him to. She was not feeling well, and she said she asked him to go out and buy her a magazine. And he came home with Newsweek. He bought the whole company, not just the newsstand. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Mike in Fort Worth. Hello, Mike.
How's it going, Paul?
Mike,
hey, I
want
to talk about one of your favorite people. I'm sure you write love letters to him when you get a chance. That's Urban Meyer. Listen, he's out of coaching now. Probably won't ever coach in the NFL again, at least until he gets.
Yeah, there's another story out about Urban that really it's in The Athletic today. That it's hard to make him look any worse, but this one makes him look about 10 times worse than he previously did.
Yeah, Paul, but I guarantee you, within 5 years, matter of fact, start looking at it next year. He's going to coach again in college football. It won't be in the Big Ten, probably won't be in the SEC, Pac-12 or something, but he will get a coaching job in a division in one of the major conferences, Big 12, SEC, Big 10.
Yeah, Mike, call me naive, but I don't know how I say this. I mean, we had Will Wade was introduced a couple of years ago, so that shoots to death my theory here. But I don't know how a respectable president and AD can sit next to Urban Meyer and look into the fan base and say, this is our next coach.
Well, there was a discussion on the one of these sports radio shows in Dallas,
yeah.
And they say within 5 years, they were saying, and there were a couple guys on there saying, they believe the question was, will Urban Meyer get another coaching job in college? And they all said, yeah, but some of them said it'd be small division one or two, but a lot of them said it would be the big college. They say within 5 years, 5 to 10 years guaranteed. And I say look in the next year or two, because some schools going to lose. And I guarantee within a couple of years,
Mike,
they're going to want to win.
Here's my problem, though. And until now, you could just say that he was quirky and maybe a little crazy. He had health issues. But now, if you look, and thank you for your call, you look at some of these stories, and it's hard to trust this guy. I'll let everybody read the article before I get too deep into it. But it's astonishing. The things that he didn't even know who Aaron Donald was, and he's coaching in the NFL. I don't know how. I mean, the punitive action that he took against his players. I mean, the threats that he made. I want somebody to read that the latest on him and tell me that he would be a legitimate hire anywhere. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Van, who is in Alabama. Hello, Van.
How you doing, Paul?
Van, well, thank you.
I'm just curious, about 40 years ago, there was a call-in radio station in Alabama that you'd call in and get the scores, not to say that I would bet on scores,
right.
Football teams, but Slippery Rock would always come
You're
up.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
And why was that? I never understood.
Well,
that.
Yeah, every people don't understand. If you go back 40, 50 years ago, this was pre-ESPN. ESPN came in the late 70s, I believe, late 70s, that you didn't have all these devices that would give you scores, so there would usually be a radio station that you would literally on a set. I hosted one of these shows once, and where you would call up and say, "Hey, you got the Ole Miss LSU game." Nobody knew what the game. Nobody knew the score. You either did that or you called a new. There was a line at the local newspaper that would give the scores, and it would just be on a loop. And Slippery Rock somehow became a pet of all the shows, and they would give the – and today Slippery Rock beats Eastern Maryland 37-16.
Well, I appreciate it. I just never understood. I'd never heard of them before then.
No, it's a great question. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. You be well. Take care of yourself. How about Matt in Alabama? Hey, Matt.
Hey. Yes.
Matt, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, yes, Matt. I'm right here.
Well, I just wanted to call and let you know that I was still alive. You know, I ran the first play for Coach Bryant, and Coach Forney, he gave me a picture. He was the athletic director at the time. He gave me a picture of that first play, and I sure appreciate you doing that.
So, Matt, let me help the audience remember this. When was this was what, in 50, what, 9?
58.
58.
58, yeah. It was the first offensive play.
What was
LSU down in Mobile, Alabama.
What was the play call?
It was a off tackle play. I shifted from halfback to fullback and ran off tackle play.
What was it like?
I gained about 5.5 yards, I think.
That's fantastic. What was it like when Coach Bryant showed up?
Well, we didn't know. It was all smiles, you know. Of course, he was telling us about what was going to come forth, you know, and that if we quit, you know, that he was going to put it in the paper and why we quit. And, of course, I didn't ever have that in my mind, ever thinking about quitting, you know, because that wasn't the way I was brought up. But I'm glad I went to the university. We had Warren Dice and our teammates at Elba. And we were called the Touchdown Twins back in the day. And I'm glad I went to Alabama. Money-wise, I probably should have went to Georgia because they offered us, gosh, boom, a whole lot.
But man, we're about to start a scandal here. You're going back to the late 50s.
Yeah, that's right. But I won't tell you what they offered, but they offered a lot, Georgia did.
So I'm assuming, Matt, this is under the table money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mr. Steve Hicks, who was an Alabama fan, he said that money's a short-lived thing. He said you need to go where you want to go. And we both wanted to go to Alabama. That was our lifetime dream.
So was this Wally Butts coaching at Georgia at the time?
Yeah, Wally Butts was there. We went over there one time to visit, and Georgia, I think, was playing Georgia Tech, which was a big game for them. And,
right.
We left at halftime to come back to see our sweethearts.
So I'm just curious, and I know it's too late to get in trouble because this is something that happened 60 years ago, more than 60 years ago. But when you say a lot of money, what's a lot of money in 1958?
Something like $3,000, $1,500 a month.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, Matt.
Yeah. It sure was.
$3,000 a month a night. So that's close to $40,000 a year in 1958.
And, you know, the funny thing about it is the folks said they'd go ahead and put the money in the bank for us. If they reneged, you know. I didn't know folks reneged on promises, you know. So...
And you just went to Alabama to play for... You just went there to play, right?
That's right. I went there to play for Alabama.
Wow. That is amazing. Well, thank you for – listen, you take care of yourself, and you would be well. Guys, so he went to school in 58, That would make him what? 83 or 4 maybe? I'm just guessing here off the top of my head. Yeah, 84. Guy ran the first play for Coach Bryant. Said, you heard it. Listen, though, we don't intend to break news here. We just state the facts. Wally Butts' program at Georgia in 1958 offered this guy, who was a halfback, close to $40,000 a year to go to UGA. My, have things changed. We will come back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, welcome back here. Tuesday afternoon. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I have to ask you up front, I think John out of Tampa talked about your John Gotti pinstripe suit. Is that what you're wearing today?
This is one of them. Yeah. I guess this would qualify as a wise guy suit.
Yeah, actually it looks good on you, but I was thinking about that. I agree with you about Urban Meyer. I did read the article and it's pretty ugly, but that all, you know, covers his arrogance, but I think the more important thing about him is the number of times he's just bold-faced lied. I mean, yeah. He had his wife talking to the victim of the spouse abuse and saying she's going to talk to her husband and I'm afraid for your safety. And then he denies he ever talked to his wife about it. I mean, as a couple, they were liars, I found.
Anything I say now, because I do know both of them, would just make it work. Because Mrs. Meyer, Shelley Meyer, came after me a couple of years ago on social media, and I was told by everyone, do not respond. and
she has a history of that.
Yeah, the most common thing you see from Shelley is, I'm not tweeting anymore.
after the fact.
Yeah.
But the other one, because I'm in town here, I actually grew up in the Chicago area, but I find Rick Pitino pretty repulsive, too. And the reason is because he got caught and he still denied it. I mean, the one thing, getting the woman pregnant in a restaurant, I mean, he always wore the Catholic, and I'm a Catholic boy, always wore the Catholic boy in his sleeve, but he got the woman pregnant and then had a coach take her for abortion. He had the incidents with the strippers and prostitutes with the recruits, and then he was talking to the Adidas guy four times the day the $100,000 went out to the recruit. I cannot see those kind of toxic coaches in college these days.
I just don't think they fit. I had the opportunity. It was about 10 years ago. I was at an event. C.M. Newton, you may remember that name, had invited me to come down for his charity event in Tuscaloosa. And he said, I want you to spend some time with Rick. And after the event, the three of us went back to the bar at this place. And we sat around for a couple of hours. And I will say this from a one-on-one standpoint. And I knew Rick a little bit. I played golf with him a number of years ago in a pro-am. In fact, it was the day he was negotiating with the Celtics the entire round of golf. That's how crazy it was. He's extremely likable, but you can fall for him, and I did. He's one of those guys that has that oozing charisma, but if you're not careful, it will infect you.
Well, good job with the Taylor. Keep it up.
Yeah, Hong Kong Taylor. in my dreams. Let's continue. Quinn is in Kansas. Hello, Quinn.
Hi, Paul. Gosh, it's so great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Been watching for years. I'm a retired teacher, and I just love your show. It's just so funny. Just makes me laugh.
Quinn, what did you teach?
I taught second grade for about 30 years.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot imagine. I've been in classrooms before, but to go into it, to teach second graders, how did you ever survive?
Well, I tell you, it was, I loved the kids. You know, just the stories. I could probably write a book. just making sure that every day was just, you know, a new day.
Right. What an impressionable age that is.
Oh, it sure is. And, you know, my husband and I just love the SEC. And our friends here in Kansas just think we're crazy. But when my husband finally retires, we want to come down to a lot of the SEC nation, you know, and watch the games and see all the different cities in the South.
Oh, man. Where in Kansas do you live?
We live in Western Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah, and my dad, it's kind of funny because he was a basketball coach here at Garden City Junior College, and he actually coached Keith Smart, who is now the assistant, you know, in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Wow, what an interesting, how much longer does your husband have before he retires?
Probably about another 2 years.
Okay.
So...
Well,
yeah,
you,
he's a teacher,
as soon as
PE
you guys
teacher.
Do it, let me know. We will make sure we'll make sure that we find a good spot for you.
Oh, that sounds great. I just wanted to say that caller Joe yesterday from Handsome Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I think of myself as a city girl, but I don't know, maybe country girl too, because I do like to drink beer out of a can.
I happen to know a few city girls that follow that as well. Well, that is great.
Well, I just want to tell you thanks for making everybody laugh, and I just love your show and everything about it, and you do an awesome job.
You be well, Quinn, and let's talk soon. Thank you very, very much. We're heading to a break right here on a Tuesday afternoon. We've had a couple of guests, more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Listening to Lane Kiffin, haven't heard him in a while, and with Pro Day tomorrow and camp underway, also talking about NIL. It wasn't that long ago that he and Kirby Smart had that epic tete-a-tete. Let's talk to Nick Suss from the Clarion Ledger. Nick, good afternoon. Great to have you back here. Let's start with what Lane Kiffin said today about NIL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, no, it is... it's a thing that he's always going to talk about, and he's always going to have opinions about it. So not a surprise that he's sticking to his company position here, that players are getting paid, and he's not going to ignore that.
Let's get deeper here, because really, depending on who you listen to, this is revolutionizing sports. It's the best thing that's ever happened, or it's the worst thing that ever happened. Lane has clearly embraced it. Not a surprise, but you know, give us some backstory on especially, you know, any leftover ramifications from the showdown with Jimbo, because I heard a little bit of a crack today, as I know you did.
Yeah, I think that you said that some people think it's the best thing, some people think it's the worst thing. I think that kind of the way Kiffin's viewing it is, it's the thing. This is just the way to get players now, and it would be foolish to ignore it. It would be foolish to say we're not going to use this, and it would also be foolish to say this is terrible, we're not going to try and fix anything, this is perfect. Any way you look at it, it's just the thing that people have to operate. So he's adapted, and he used the portal quite well, and some of it was NIL-based, and some of it was connections-based, and there's all that. But the history with him and Jimbo, he makes cracks because he's Lane Kiffin. I mean, I think that it might have gotten overplayed in a slow news month, but he says what he says. He's going to keep trying to make the best of it, but I think a lot of the time when he talks about NIL or when he talks about any of that, it's as much him talking to his own base about what Ole Miss needs to do to compete as it is him trying to be a white knight savior type guy crusading for the rights of players and coaches and teams. I think that he's trying to win, and NIL is just the new way to do it.
And Nick, how do you win at a relatively small school? I don't want to say that Ole Miss doesn't have a passionate alumni and boosters because they do, but it doesn't compare to Texas A&M or other schools, and everyone has a plan, and it seems like Texas A&M had the best plan last year.
Yeah, that's the tough question to answer right now, and I'm trying to figure it out as much as anyone who actually works for the team is, but I think that pretty much the way Kiffin's looking at it with this team is you got five new assistant coaches, you're going to have somewhere around 14 new starters, and today they started spring practice with 17 early enrollees, 12 transfers, 3 freshmen, and 2 junior college kids. They're trying to go with as much experience as they can on the field as possible. They're trying to use NIL and the transfer portal to get second chance kids who can come in having had experience they've already gained and can use that here. It's kind of the closest thing I've seen from college football to the modern college basketball model of go get a bunch of 22-year-olds who've already played 3 or 4 years of college basketball and see if that can win you a championship like Baylor got last year. It's harder to do that in football when you need 22 starters and 22 backups and even more depth than that to be a functionally good team. But I think that's the way they're trying to make it work, is instead of every year getting like Alabama last year with Henry To'o To'o and Jameson Williams, you go get the 2 transfers you absolutely need, you reload, everything else is ingrown. I think Ole Miss is going to have to be a little bit more aggressive with some of these players who might need a second chance somewhere else. Think about J.J. Pegues and Ladarius Tennyson, 2 guys they picked up from Auburn this year who weren't stars at Auburn, but were guys who saw the field and knew what they were doing, and now maybe Ole Miss can harness the talent that got them to the SEC in the first place, but didn't necessarily culminate in them setting records as freshmen and sophomores.
Nick Suss with us. Nick, I think everyone would be interested in how different schools go about it. Ole Miss was very successful in the portal, but from what coaches say privately, it's very vicious in the portal. Yeah. You've got agents involved, you've got deals involved. So how does someone like Lane Kiffin navigate that and obviously navigate it very well?
Yeah, I think that some of that's going to be left to mystery. There's some of that that whatever's going on behind closed doors is working. But I'd also say that it's pretty easy to see a direct line between teams that are telling players, come here and you'll play more, and teams that are getting those players. I think a lot of the motivation is always going to be financial. A lot of it's going to be NFL future. But I think for a lot of kids, the motivation is, where can I show myself my stuff? Where can I show myself off and prove that I can play? And the money's lining up, and Ole Miss has the NIL deals, and that's always going to be the thing people focus on. But I think the other thing is Ole Miss needed a lot of players this year. They went out and got 14 players from the transfer portal because they probably needed 14 players from the transfer portal. If there's a school next year that wasn't very active in the portal, but they had 10 juniors coming back who are seniors this year, next year they might be the team that goes out and gets 10 players, and Ole Miss might get four. I think that you're always going to want to get better players, but there's a reflection of teams that need players who go out and get players. You look at the other teams that were very active in the portal this year. They were USC, new head coach, LSU, new head coach, Florida, new head coach, the schools that had a lot of players leave and had to bring a lot of talent in. I think Ole Miss is at this crossroad of they have a coach who's really, really adaptive in the portal and is doing things the right way behind closed doors. But they also had a need to go out and get these players.
Now that they have all these guys in there, and it's quite a few new players, Matt Corral playing testing tomorrow for the pro draft, what in your mind, or is it even possible to know what this team is going to look like following one of the best Ole Miss seasons in recent history?
Yeah, I mean, Kiffin's message today was that they want to reload. They want to do the same things as last year, just with different faces. I'm a little skeptical of that ending up happening just because of Kiffin's history of tinkering and running different offenses every year. I mean, it would have been one thing to say at Alabama, let's just reload, but he ran three drastically different offenses in 3 years. So we'll see what happens. They've got a couple of quarterbacks competing to replace Corral with Luke Altmyer, Kincaid Dent, and the USC transfer Jackson Dart. I think that the running backs they brought in from TCU and SMU are going to be heavily, heavily involved in the offense, and it might be even more run first than it's been in the past couple of years as they work in some new quarterbacks and receivers. I think the defense is going to be key. They took some big, big steps forward down the stretch last year, but they lose Sam Williams, their best pass rusher. They lose their two best linebackers. They lose their two best tacklers in the secondary. That's all going to be stuff they have to figure out, but the way these transfer classes work, they bring in Kari Coleman and Jaden Ivey up front. They bring in J.J. Pegues up front. They bring in Aisheen Young and Ladarius Tennyson in the secondary and Troy Brown at linebacker. There are a lot of pieces to play with there. So the way to make it work is hope the players you hit on are all of them. It's going to be tough for all 14 of your transfers to hit, but if you can make that work, that's the way forward.
Nick Suss covers the Ole Miss Rebels for the Clear and Ledger. Many, many thanks, Nick. Thank you for being here. We head to the break. We will talk more about the NIL a little bit later on. More of your phone calls. You want to give us a ring, we'll take your call now at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we got the caller bracket. This is where we are. I-Man and Bama Nick. Boy, that should be a long contest. And Daryl and Jerome, a little more heavily contested. Remember, yesterday Alabama won the Alabama-Georgia matchup with Legend and Red Dog. We got Charles and Handsome Joe, Auburn-Bama there. And down at the bottom, we have Jeff under review against Squirrel. I guess if... It's no longer under review, is it, since we got a winner? Yeah, it was under review. Certainly, Cat Daddy could go to court, but probably too late. Yeah, he'll have to do a lot of things. Scott is up next in San Antonio. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Paul. Great to touch base with you.
Thank you.
Real quick, little backstory, just to – I live in San Antonio. I grew up in the ACC country. I'm a 757 guy from Newport News. I only say that to having said this. Obviously, I follow all sports, and your show is beyond entertaining. And the SEC, while I don't live there, I kind of live through it sometimes because it is unlike any other. I mean, the SEC is just different. I mean, the thing to Urban Meyer, and I was just, I'm kind of like you. At this point, I don't think he could get another job. But you let one of these schools have a bad year or two, it's just some, you know,
you never can sell short the desperation of an athletic director whose job is on the line.
Is on the line. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Real quick backstory, I kind of started following some of it. My uncle played football at East Carolina. This was back in the 70s, and he played under Pat Dye.
Oh,
love
man.
Pat Dye. And but he was a wide receiver on a wishbone team, so he had all these catches in high school with East Carolina. I had a good career, but he wasn't getting many catches.
You know, it's funny, Scott. I remember when Bo Jackson went to play for the Raiders, and he started catching the ball a lot. I asked Dye, I said, did you realize you could have thrown the ball to Bo Jackson in college?
Yeah, but that's kind of – I used to give him the needle. You know, of course, he's much older than me. But I was like, what the heck were you thinking making that decision? He said, well, Coach Dye was – he actually started under Sonny Randall and then played under Dye, came in there. That's 100 years ago and a whole other story.
Sure.
But that was a different day in a different era. I just wanted to touch base with you. I enjoy listening to you. Your show is always a good thing to listen to.
Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate the call. Jerry is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hello.
Jerry, you're on the air. We are here.
Okay. Tell you a comparison. Pray about the fellow who called in and said Georgia was paying $3,000 a month in 1958. I can tell you for a fact that my father-in-law was Bobby Dodd's roommate at University of Tennessee in 1928, 1929, and 1930. And Dodd was paid $3,000 a month. And they had an unusual way of paying him. He would take these blotter calendars and other things around to different businesses, and they would pay their appropriate share of the $3,000. And my father-in-law got 10% for helping.
You know, Jerry, when I was a college student, I remember being in the, and I'm not trying to embarrass this guy because he's a legend, and I'm told he watches the show a lot, but a guy named Gus Manning, who was there under the general and who worked as he was a ticket guy. And I was in the locker room one day after a game, and he was handing out money, and I just decided the investigative reporting skills were already formulating at 20 years old. And I noticed he'd give this guy a set amount of money, then he'd give this guy more money, and he looked at me and said, this is meal money. I'm like going, that was 10, that was 20, and this guy got 100. But anyway, I never turned him in until now.
Well, I just wanted to pass that story along.
That's a great story.
Related to me by him. Yeah.
And Bobby Dodd, as you know, is one of the legendary coaches of all time.
And, you know, two-time All-American at Tennessee.
Absolutely.
And lost one game during his 3 years there.
No, that is and you hear about Bobby Dodd at Georgia Tech and you forget. I'll admit I did as well because I clearly wasn't around. But that you know, his playing days were spectacular. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Steve is in St. Louis. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul, love your show. Glad to be part of the SEC after being an old Big 8 guy with Missouri.
Thank you.
I think when the SEC got Missouri, they were thinking they were going to get a lot more. I mean, the 4 years I was at Missouri, Norm Stewart won the Big 8 title 4 times and won the Big 8 tournament 3 of the 4. Missouri was once a very proud program. It has shocked me. It's really the only Division I program. It's the only Division I football program in a very populous state. And when you just look at the high school I went to in St. Louis, Chaminade College Prep, we put Brad Beal, Jason Tatum, and David Lee all in the NBA just, you know, recently. And the St. Louis talent level, much less Kansas City, is off the charts. It just shocked me You know, Quinn Snyder, when we hired him, he was the number one young coach in the country. I really hope this new guy coming in can reignite what has historically been a very passionate basketball program with a very passionate history. I mean, if you pull Kentucky out of the mix, and I know Florida had their nice run with two national championships, which is hard to beat, but I put Missouri's total history right
up
there with
anybody. Yeah, Steve, as you remember, when Missouri came into the SEC, a lot of the conversation was about basketball.
Yeah, undoubtedly.